Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool, that was perfect. Just enough time for me to pull up my notes. So, but anyways, hey, we're back in there. We're going to jump into our summertime series, which we've entitled Stories. And we're glad you're here today as we're going to jump in. And today is actually one of the first interviews we do. But before we do that, I do just have a couple quick announcements I want to remind you of. We do have the Granville 4th of July Parade. That's the 4th of July, and that's actually going to be at 9:30 at Wildwood Park. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. I will tell you, sign up. Let us know how many members of your family are coming, and that way we can just kind of prepare. What we want to do is we want to load the streets up of Granville with some life change people, right? And we're going to pass out Frisbees. We have 1,500 Frisbees, and we can throw those gently to people. Actually, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to hand them to them. People will want to be thrown to, so it's a blast. They love the Frisbees. We're actually going to pass out candy as well and then some flyers, and then we'll have a float where we'll throw the kids on and with some adults to monitor and supervise them. So everybody smiles, and we give out free smiles. It's just a blast. So mark it on your calendars, July 4th at 9:30 in the a.m. It's going to be a blast to really go love on our community and really connect together as well. And as you saw, Caleb just came up tonight. Student life is at 5 p.m., so they have a blast. So if you know a student, you are a student, ages 6th grade through 12th, come on out and join them, and they have a blast. And then again, tonight, the Go group is actually starting, which the Go group is going to be an outreach-driven small group. And tonight's their first kind of informational meeting. So that's tonight at 6 p.m. here at the church. And if you can't make it because it's Father's Day or something like that, feel free to reach out to Missy Bonham. She is the director of that. She's the leader of that, and she can kind of get you some information of what things are coming and what you can expect from that as well. But today we're jumping in back to our summertime series entitled Stories. And what we're doing is we're looking at these stories of Bible characters, but we're also looking at these stories of people, like real-life people within our church as well. And it's really, we're going to look at these things, and we're going to really try to encourage all of us together to live out our faith a little more. So I challenge you again to come regularly, make a commitment to come throughout the summer, and then make a commitment to bring somebody with you too. Because there's nothing like a connection with somebody else through stories. So all summer long, it'll be an easy connection to bring somebody in and really connect with them through a story. So I challenge you to do that. Last week, if you remember, we kind of laid out the groundwork for this entire series. And this is what we learned. We learned that faith unlocks a legacy. And really, that's kind of the main point we're going to drive home throughout this entire series, is that faith unlocks a legacy. And it comes right from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Again, if you don't have a Bible, always push the YouVersion Bible app. So I challenge you to download that and read your Bible every single day. But Hebrews chapter 11, again, from what we learned last week, is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. Some people call it the Hall of Faith. And what it is, it's this impressive list of these Old Testament heroes in the Bible. But verse 2 really kind of displays how these people became heroes, displayed why we even learn about these, why we even realize, and why they're even written about in the Bible. And it says this, Hebrews 1 through 2, says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. Our faith, our life of faith, our actions of faith, they create memories for other people to grab onto, and they create a legacy. Faith unlocks a legacy. So the next several weeks, we're going to be hearing some incredible stories of faith. Again, real life people and then people from the Bible. But today, as it is Father's Day, I want to say happy Father's Day to all your fathers out there. But today, we get to learn from my dad. I'm going to interview my dad today, and a little bit of stories about his faith. So, if you would, welcome my dad, also known as Greg Huffman. Greg Huffman, you can come right to the stage right now. So, my dad's awesome, right? I've known him all my life. And he is a hugger. I will warn you about that. He is a hugger. So, I'm not a hugger. So, if you're like me, just consider yourself warned. So, go ahead. See, exactly, right? I'm going to give you this mic. So to start off, we'll just jump in a little bit. No, we'll move this back so they can see how we're dressed alike and everything else, right?
OK. Okay.
It's pretty good stuff, right?
That's right.
So through the series, we're kind of learning about faith, right, and how it creates heroes and how it creates legacy. And really, my dad has been obviously influential in my life. He's been a kind of a hero in my life, and he's really helped me become who I am. So I wanted to jump in and look at that, and I think really Dad never kind of wavered from his faith, so we'll kind of talk a little bit about that. But before we jump into some of those, maybe some of you don't know my dad. It'd be surprising because he talks to telephone poles and everything else, so he'd probably talk to you about it. But maybe you don't know some of his story. So, Dad, if you would, let's start off, and you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background.
Okay. I was born November 21st, 1950, in Portsmouth, Ohio. I was born at Mercy Hospital at 1322 Kenny's Lane in Portsmouth. My mother was in room 348, room bed number two. Is that too much information?
It might be a little too much. What's sad though, and what's crazy is this is probably all true. I can't tell you any of this information about myself. but that's a little detail. Let's go a little bit more broad in general.
Okay, well, let me start first by saying that I was born 4 days before the famous Ohio State-Michigan Snow Bowl game. But don't ask me who won, because I was only 4 days old. I don't remember. Anyway, I was born to wonderful parents. I have a sister, Carol, who is 7 years older than me. My parents took me to church probably as my first outing ever. And I grew up in Manly United Methodist Church in Portsmouth, Ohio. And it was just part of life. Youth group at church was very influential for me. My Sunday school teachers were wonderful, and they started me in my faith. I finished high school and knew I wanted to go to college, knew I wanted to be a teacher. So I didn't have the money to go away to college, but fortunately, Ohio University has a branch in Portsmouth, which is now Shawnee State. It's no longer Ohio University. So I went there for 2 years and worked while I was going to school. My junior year, I transferred to the Athens campus, which is the main campus. And there I met Cindy Lane. Cindy had gone to the Lancaster campus for 2 years, and we both ended up on campus our junior year. Well, we were just a whole group of friends our junior year. And Cindy was dating some guy named Randy back in Lancaster, and I was dating some gal named Marcia in Portsmouth. So we would go home on the weekends and date, and then we'd go back campus during the week. We'd run around all week and talk about Marcia and Randy and just talk about our lives. Well, senior year, Marcia's faded away and Randy faded away, and I suggested to Cindy that we try trial dating. So trial dating.
Only way he could probably get her to say yes. We're just going to throw that out there.
Okay. So I said, you know, we've been friends all of our lives, or it seems like. So if things don't work out, we will just be friends forever after 6 weeks. Well, in 4 weeks, we were engaged.
So a closer.
We finished college and went through the OU placement office and ended up in Newark, Ohio. Cindy got a job her first year in Johnstown and taught sixth grade. I got a job at Licking Valley Junior High, and I taught English language arts for 11 years. And in that time, I went to Ohio State in the evenings and on weekends, not on weekends, but in the summertime, and got my master's degree and decided I wanted to be a principal. So I was the assistant principal at Licking Valley High School for 2 years. Assistant principals have a miserable job on weekends because you're always at school, you're always at a ball game or play, and my children, Kendi and Corbin, were small, and I wanted to have more time with them. So I quit that job and went out to Northridge and was a principal at Alexandria, which was an elementary school, for 4 years. And got to spend more time with my family. And after dealing with parents, not fun, after dealing with teachers, okay, most of the time, and kids were great. They never gave principal any problem. So anyway, after four years.
I do hear stories, though, of a paddle above your desk. So that might be one reason why it's didn't. I mean, this was the 80s, right? So
this was the 80s. So after 4 years, I decided I wanted to do something different. So I ended up at the County Board of Education, and I did curriculum development for Johnstown and Northridge and North Fork, which is also known as Utica. And Cindy continued to teach at Licking Valley. After 30 years in education, I was at the county board. I was very tired of the state mandating all the things that we had to do. And I said, I hate this job. And Cindy said, retire. I said, I can't retire. You're still teaching. So I did retire, and I taught for 5 years. I substitute taught. One day I'd be in kindergarten. Next day I'd be in high school government. I loved it. It was fun. When we came to Newark, we started at Neal Avenue United Methodist Church, where we just left after being there over 40 years. Church family, we were coerced into being the youth leaders for the junior high group the first year we were there. We did that for 2 years, and we just stayed forever. And they, like I said, they became our church family. We had two children along the way, Kendi. And Kendi is a teacher in Utica Elementary in fourth grade. And Corbin, I think you probably know him. Anyway, it's been a good life. And I think I've given too many details already. So go for it.
No, that's good. I think some people probably don't know some of that background. I think it's always good to kind of to get to know you a little bit better as well. And I think one thing that kind of stood out from that was the fact that you're very consistent. In everything you do, I think you're very... you're very steady. You don't really waver too much. I mean, you were at a church here on Neal Avenue for 42 years, which is incredible. And really, you had no plan to come over here when we planted. It was kind of funny. I said, hey, we're going to plant a church. And they just looked at us like we're crazy. And it was like, well, good luck with that. We got our church. We're rolling with it. And I know even sometimes the style is a little different because you're definitely more traditional. But you just kind of connected in as part of that church family that even Caleb was talking about, some of the incredible families within the church. But I look at you, and you never really wavered. You were always kind of consistent. And I remember looking at your faith, it seems like it was always steady. So how was that possible? Like, if you look at, like, how was that even, like, how did you go through all the things of life? How was that possible? Maybe tell me something about something that built your faith growing up or something that happened that maybe kind of led you to just being able to be steady and trusting God through everything.
Well, when I was at Ohio University Portsmouth campus, it was either my freshman year or sophomore year, I don't remember which, my aunt, who lived in Portsmouth, had a brain tumor surgery, and it was in University Hospital in Columbus. So while she was in the hospital, she let me keep her car and drive her car. And it was the 23rd of December. I was going up to get her from University Hospital. It's 90 miles up from Portsmouth. And en route, it was an icy day, and I was driving her car, and I was going, a semi hit me broadside on the driver's side. The car was hardly recognizable. The doors were pushed inside the car, and I don't remember anything else. God took care of that because I blacked out, and the only thing I remember, or faintly remember, is being in the ambulance and the ambulance driver saying, I think we might have a dead on arrival. And I thought, who's he talking about? So anyway, they took me to Berger Hospital in Circleville, not knowing what was happening when I got there. And 5 hours later, I walked out with a patch on the back of my head and stitches. That was it. So God got me through that. I figured God's got a purpose for me. And I need to live for him and do what I'm supposed to do. So that was probably one of the biggest faith-building events of my life.
That's pretty interesting, too. So what's funny about that story, I never even knew that. Like, so this has been really cool, sitting down with him, kind of asking some things about, hey, how'd you grow your faith? And he shares the story. I'm like, wow, like that's an incredible story. It answered a lot of questions about the head injury, too, but no. We kind of give each other we kind of go back and forth being a father and son, but I think it's okay. Last week we jumped into Hebrews chapter 11, and we saw all these stories of these people and these heroes of faith, and it necessarily wasn't always easy for them. They always had some type of trial, they always had some type of test that they went through. And I think really we've all had that as well, but I kind of want to just maybe jump into you and like ask a little bit about that. What have you gone through in your life that maybe that kind of shaped your faith and kind of built your faith as far as the car accident? But maybe give me an example of something that maybe even kind of tested your faith after that fact.
Okay. When you were two and Kendi was five, your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And here I am thinking, am I going to lose my wife? Am I going to be responsible for raising a two-year-old and a five-year-old? Well, God knew better because he knew I couldn't handle it. He spared her life. And what was really unique about the situation is the final stages of the Paget's disease were some of the first stages. And she went to the doctor, surgeon, said, well, you can go for a second opinion. She says, I don't want to. Well, and it's strange because we just felt comfortable with the doctor, and I felt comfortable with the doctor after I went in. She had had a biopsy, and the day before she was going to have the mastectomy, we go to the hospital so that the doctor can take this, or go to the doctor's office so the doctor can take the stitches out. And I thought, that's crazy. Why is he going to take the stitches out when tomorrow he's just going to cut it off? And, I mean, that's basically what happened. And, when we went in, I figured, I went in with her, and I felt a sense of peace that I had never felt about the whole situation. And I looked at her, and I said, you made the right decision. You know, you've chosen the right doctor. Things are going to be fine. And they were. And it was so interesting because when people came into the hospital to visit Cindy, they left. They were feeling sad and worried. And they left laughing because she just had a great spirit about the whole thing. Another faith testing was about 4 years ago when your mom had a stroke. And she had to go through speech therapy. And she also has a time sometimes coming up with words like I'm doing now. I don't know why, but I've never had trouble talking in my life. But anyway, that's been a faith testing. And God's been faithful.
God's definitely been faithful for all that, and it's kind of incredible to see, and I am thankful, incredibly thankful that he spared Mom and that she was able to raise us as well. You would have done a great job, but I'll just say, Kendi was probably a handful, so she helped in that matter of it. But even with that, too, so what are some things maybe, so as Father's Day, I mean, you do have my sister, and then you have myself, and we are probably really, really good kids, you know? I mean, we are pretty much angels. I'm just going to throw that out there. But but what were some things maybe that tested your faith as a father with us as your kids?
Well, I have to say that both of you were fairly easy to raise. I remember there was one incident when you were in high school that you were upset with us because we didn't let you have the car to go see your girlfriend. And there was something that went on. We don't remember the whole deal, but you grabbed a knife, and you were about ready to do yourself in. And
it was a, like, off-brand pocket knife that probably was going to, like, maybe scratch.
Kitchen butcher knife. Let's try that. Anyway, it was one of those situations that once we talked to you for 10, 15 minutes, you were okay. And I just remember that situation. Now, to really build faith, if you let your children leave the country, you really have to have faith. Between Kendi's 8th grade and 9th grade year, she went on a trip to El Salvador with a mission group, and she went with Scott Thomas Ford, DJ's brother. And when you leave a 13-year-old on her own to go out of the country, and you don't even have a passport, so if something happens, you can go get her, then you have to have faith. And the same thing happened with you between your freshman and sophomore years when you and DJ went to Bolivia. And with that situation, you just have to trust God, and he took care.
So I think, I mean, definitely all of us can probably relate with getting tested with our faith that way, but I think how you responded was probably different than maybe sometimes we've responded or maybe kind of how we want to respond. Because I think anytime really when we come to a place where our faith gets tested, It either shakes us, it either breaks us, or it makes us. And throughout my life, I looked at you, and there might have been some things that maybe shook you, and that's okay. I think sometimes it's okay for us to be shaken because it kind of lets us reevaluate things, but never than ever really broke you. In fact, most of the things that you went through, they actually made you. They kind of made you who you are, and they kind of left that legacy that I look to that I want to pass down to my kids as well. So when you're thinking that, let's just go through, what are some of the things you did in your life to allow these testings to make you? Like, what are some things you did in your life that helped you stay consistent in growing your faith?
Definitely church attendance, being at church every Sunday practically. I mean, if we weren't sick, we were at church, or if we weren't on vacation, we were at church. Sunday school classes to build faith, to learn more about the Bible. We were in numerous Bible studies. And then the fellowship and influence of just wonderful folks, church family like we have here. And I feel it here, just like I used to feel at Neal Avenue. And also, I have to give a plug here. Back in 1990, I went on a spiritual renewal weekend known as Walk to Emmaus. Walk to Emmaus is a 72-hour retreat in which you're there for the whole weekend, shut off from the world with other men, and you hear talks and you have discussions, and you just deepen your faith through that experience. And several people here have been through that, and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Another thing too, so if you know my dad, you know he's a little bit on the OCD side. We'll just throw that.
Just like my son has.
I'm acquired. A little, and I definitely have it as well. But, like, so much so, like, I remember growing up, you would, like, actually set out your breakfast items and stuff. You'd set those out the night before. So when you wake up, it's like breakfast is ready to roll. But one thing you always set out with your breakfast items was a devotional book. So every morning as you ate breakfast, you also had a devotional book. You had the Bible that you would read as well. So tell me a little bit about maybe how that started and why, like, the importance of that and kind of really how that has affected you as well.
Well, that came from Walk to Emmaus. I started to read devotionals, but I really got deep into a devotional life after my Walk to Emmaus. And to keep that going each week, I have a accountability group or share group that I meet with, and we talk about our successes and failures in faith for the week. And that truly is a helpful tool because I know I have to answer to those guys and tell them what's happened in the week. So, you know, that's something to strive for.
Cool. Well, I think those are all my questions for you. So I wanted to just thank you for being up here. And I had a card for you. Yeah.
I have something else to say.
Oh.
This is a surprise to you. I want to say that it has been a blessing to have the two children that I have. I am so proud. Both of you, you chose wonderful spouses. You've given us beautiful, ornery, rambunctious grandchildren whom we love. And life couldn't be any better for that. And I know because of outside sources that Kendi is an excellent teacher. And every Sunday, I marvel at the fact that I'm brought closer in my relationship with Christ by this sermon, and I'm blessed.
Well, I appreciate you. I don't really know what to say after that. Let me give you a hug, though.
I will hug now.
I think a lot of it is your legacy of faith that you're passing down to allow Kenny and I to do the things we do. So that's your Father's Day card. That is your card that you get today. So when we get together later, that's it. Like that's I'm just throwing that. But let's give it a round of applause. Well, actually, I'm going to pray for my dad first. Sorry. Just throw me off here. But dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for my dad. We thank you for who he is, the things he's done, the decisions he's made, that he's always relied on you, God. And he's really become a pillar of faith in my life and really a pillar of faith in the others' lives as well. Just thank you for this opportunity for him to share with others some of the decisions and some of the things that shaped him and, God, how you really made him through these things, God. And I just appreciate him. I couldn't have been blessed with a better father. It's just incredible to have him to be the father of me, and he adopts everyone at this church as well. So we just thank you so much for him, and we love you, and we give you all the praise, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him a round of applause, guys. Well, if you look at it, I think that's, I mean, it's true, right? That faith, it creates a legacy. And the fact he's even proud of us as kids is just kind of, it's incredible. But it all stems from the fact that we had a father that we could look to. We had somebody in our lives that we could look to that over and over again was consistent in the things he did in his life. So, and kind of the big points that we want to say, and really what I gathered from talking with him and some of the action steps that we can put into place in our own lives as we leave here today, are what's on the screen right here. If we want to leave a legacy, if we want to live this life of faith out and continue to grow in faith, we need to be consistent in some certain areas. We have to stay consistent in our church life, right? I mean, church is a part of us where we can come together. It's a place where we can come together and we can grow together. But one thing that was incredible about his story, right, is that it wasn't just going to church on a Sunday morning. In fact, he was very involved in church. There were so many things. I remember going to different meetings throughout the week that my dad was a part of, whether it was a committee, whether it was choir practice at the church, whether it was preparing for Sunday school. He was a Sunday school teacher. We have life groups now. But something along those lines, he was involved in all these different areas. He did more than just attend, right? I remember him. He was an usher. We remember greeting with my parents. I remember doing all these different things with my parents growing up in church. And yeah, it seemed like they were like giving to others, but I think what's incredible about serving in that area where we get involved and where we actually are more than attending, it builds us up more and it builds our faith more. So we get ready for that. Number two was community. He talked about how he surrounded himself with good people, right? He talked about how he had a good church family. And I think really who we put in our lives, who we allow into our lives, really creates who we become. And it builds our faith as well. So I think we need to be involved in community with others as well. And then number three was that daily devotion to God. Every single day, starting it off. And I'm sure there was times where he read through his devotional and it was probably dry. He was probably like, yeah, I got nothing from this today, right? But it's that consistency. Walking and just doing it over and over again, it just continued to build up his faith. And then number four was the accountability. Having somebody in his life. And he didn't jump into it, but I know with the Walk to Emmaus, they do. They have some groups where they keep each other accountable, and they talk about the times they're closest to Christ throughout the week, right? That's something to keep you accountable. That way you're paying attention to when you're close to Jesus. You also talk about the times you're furthest away from Christ. So he keeps you accountable and lets you know what? That's when you stepped away. What can I do next week to be better at that? Really, these are some things that we need to put in our life to live this life of faith out so that we can leave a legacy as well, because our faith unlocks a legacy. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you right now. God, I thank you for this opportunity, God, just to hear from my dad. I thank you for this opportunity for everybody to hear from him and really his legacy and his story of faith. I thank you for the things that he's done, that you've taken him through, that he can share to reach and to connect with others. God, and I thank you for each one of our stories, God. Every one of us has a story right now, and every one of us has a story that can lead to a legacy if we respond and we act out and faith. God, I pray that you'll be with each individual today. God, I pray that you help them. God, maybe they're here today. God, maybe they just need to stay consistent in church. God, I pray that you help live that out. God, I pray that you just put the right community around people. God, I pray that they can live that out. God, I pray that you keep us devoted to you every single day. I pray that we can live that out as well. And God, I pray that you can maybe put the right people in our life to keep us accountable. How we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for everything you've done. We thank you for your son who lived a perfect life because we could. And God, we thank you that he's given us new life. And we worship you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.